Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor. When we're out in the elements, we're in our element. And outside retail expert Cotswold Outdoor is helping more of us to get out with the right kit. Thanks also to their support, the National Trust is helping walking communities to access the UK's outside spaces. And we're working to fix 15,000 kilometres of paths and trails by 2030 for everyone to enjoy. Find your element with Cotswold Outdoor.
The wholesome description for Robin is perhaps slightly misguided, and feisty could well be a better description.
It's that wonderful time of year again. The days are short, the air is crisp, and the world seems to glow with celebration and a touch of magic. And if you look around, you'll notice one little bird popping up everywhere. From wrapping paper to cosy Christmas jumpers, the robin has become the true emblem of festive cheer. But is there more to a robin than just being a Christmas mascot? I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth, and welcome to the wild tale of why a robin is not just for Christmas. The robin's connection to Christmas goes all the way back to the Victorian era, around the 1840s, when sending Christmas cards first became popular. At the time, postmen wore bright red uniforms and were affectionately nicknamed robins or redbreasts. Artists soon picked up on this and began illustrating the birds on the cards as a playful nod to the postman who delivered them. The charming image caught on quickly, and before long, robins featured on all sorts of festive items, cementing their place as a true Christmas symbol. But what is it about robins that's meant they've stayed as such a Christmas favourite for so long?
The thing with robins is they're kind of omnipresent.
Garden wildlife expert and enthusiast Sean McMenemy.
We're blessed that they are a bird that stays with us all year round. They're non-migratory, so if they're in the garden, they'll stay in your garden all year. And they'll sing through winter as well, which is very unusual for garden birds. Most birds really are just singing to sort of set a territory and attract mates in the springtime. And then as summer goes on, there's less and less bird song. And during winter time, birds then will join into mixed flocks and fly over considerable distances, as well as the migratory ones. So the robin does stand out as a different species. And so, you know, there's just this light song and pretty colours at an otherwise grey, miserable time of year.
It's that image that shines through all the festive decorations and Christmas adverts this time of year. The bright red chest, the sweet little face, the cheerful hops across the frosted grass. You can't help but smile at a robin. But winter itself is a quiet season for our interaction with nature. We don't linger in the garden, and our walks or commutes are often filled more with a whisper of wind or the patter of raindrops. Yet when you hear a robin's song clear and bright, it's hard not to pay attention and enjoy it.
Blackbirds, thrushes, nightingales are all renowned as our songbirds, but never underestimate a robin. They've got a rich melodic voice. It's just such a cheerful song that they sing. And the more phrases and the more notes that they can build into their song, the more dominant the bird can appear and also maintain and attract its mate as well. What they'll also do is they've got this sort of tick, 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 tick sound, which is a sort of slight irritation. So it's feed me a worm, feed me a worm. And they've also got a scratchy sort of alarm call as well. If you're outside gardening, robins will follow us around. And once they become familiar with you, they'll come quite close and they can actually recognise different individuals within a family as well. So they'll know who's friendly, who does the gardening and who's likely to feed them. So they've got a number of different calls. Singing to say, hey, this is my garden, clear off, you know, hey, this is my garden, isn't it amazing, you know, come and marry me. But also they've got different voices to speak to the people in the garden as well, so they'll talk to us.
And robins love our gardens. feasting on our nuisance insects, marking out their territories, and nesting in unexpected places, like your well-worn welly boot. Knowing that they recognise us, and perhaps even exchange a few conversational notes as we go about our day, only adds to their charm. But while it's easy to picture ourselves in a gentle Disney scene, chatting side by side with feathered companions among the roses, do robins see us the same way?
This little robin, it follows me around the garden, it absolutely loves me. And really what it's doing is it's just waiting for a pig to come along, because that's really who helps it out the most, you know. So robins historically followed the wild boars through the woodland. Pigs are foragers, so they're constantly digging and scratching, and they're looking for roots and tubers, which of course turns out lots and lots of invertebrates and worms and goodies for robins. I always liken the fact that if we're out there with a trowel in the garden, rootling around in the dirt, the robin just sees us as a pig.
So, although their feelings towards us are less fairy tale seen and more practical, and perhaps not quite as flattering as we first imagined, the robin's wholesome reputation still seems to hold up. But could there be a sharper edge? A side to robins we haven't yet seen.
The wholesome description for a robin is perhaps slightly misguided, and feisty could well be a better description. They are notoriously aggressive birds because, again, holding territory, and they will fight to the death. It's a very rare event, but because of that, they've got some very strict rules when it comes to sort of challenging one another. So first off is the song. Then after that, another robin challenging it will come in, and then they puff themselves up. The red chest is stuck out, and they'll strut, and they'll sit on a high branch, and they'll say, "Look how big I am, look how tough I am," while singing. And if that still doesn't deter another bird, they'll then sort of do these chest bumps. They'll jump up at each other and bump their chests to sort of say, "Can you see how powerful I am?" You know, and only if that fails, they'll then get to grips. The fights are ferocious and are dangerous, which is why they have all of these steps leading up to it. So it really is a last resort. No one comes out of a fight, you know, unscathed, shall we say, to the point where I found some fighting robins a number of years ago, and I went across and I actually picked them up in my hand because they were so set on violence to one another that they didn't even notice me.
When we picture such sheer aggression and unbridled rage, our minds tend to go to a bull, not a robin. It's hard to imagine something so small being quite so fierce.
Bulls are probably less violent than robins, if I think about it. Traditionally, red will set a bull off, you know, and it will make it charge. Well, exactly the same with robins. But one of the defence systems of it is when the chicks do leave the nest, they don't have the red breast of the adults. They're like a mottled brown, so they're quite plain looking, so that the parents don't object to them and drive them out before they're ready. But it's not just a robin that will set them off. If you put a red coat out or a red flower, or there's a rosy apple, if they see a reflection of themselves in a window, it will be fighting it. It's burning through an enormous amount of energy. And so, you know, if you do ever see that happening, is just remove whatever it is that's triggering that behaviour in a robin, because it's really detrimental. So it won't harm itself in the sense of cuts and bruises, but it will completely exhaust itself. They're incredibly industrious birds, but they're small, frail, and they're with us all year round. And as a result of that, they do have relatively short lives, but they compensate by the fact that they are really, really busy breeders. So they're one of the first birds to breed in the country. You can find robins on a nest, you know, late January, February time if the weather's good. And they'll have 2, 3, even potentially 4 broods during the course of a year. So short lives, but absolutely wonderful lives, because they make the most of it.
As the cosy indoor months settle in, you might find yourself wondering how to help your robin friends thrive. So what's the best way to ensure that little red bird keeps happily hopping around your garden?
Quite often you'll see robins flapping away and trying to land on, you know, the tube type bird seed feeders. That's a distressed, hungry robin, because they're natural ground feeders. They've got little thin legs, if you look closely, little thin toes, and they haven't got the perching claws that the tree dwellers, the finches and the tits, have. And so, you know, they try to clasp these feeders, and then most of the time they've got the wings flapping away, and they'll grab a seed and they'll slide off and go away. So every time you put the bird feeder out, if you have got robins, is just scatter a few seeds on the ground for it rather than in a hanging feeder. And even better still is if you can get some mealworms, dried mealworms or live mealworms, because they are through and through insectivores. If you can afford some time just to stop and think about what it's doing and why it's doing it, when it's hopping around and following you about the garden, just watch it and just see. And it's just sharing their world occasionally, which is just so lovely and brings joy.
Although the robin has inadvertently become the spirit of Christmas, and it's easy to see why, with that bright red breast and the cheerful song spreading a little light even on the greyest of winter days. But as we've discovered, there's far more to this small garden companion than festive decorations and Christmas cards. Robins are bold, sometimes fiercely so, and they're with us all year round. So perhaps we can appreciate the robin for longer than the festive season. Because a robin is not just for Christmas. Thanks for joining me on this wild tale. To hear more episodes, follow us on your favourite podcast app. And you can also find us on Instagram, @wildtales. See you next time and have a lovely Christmas. Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor, your outside retailer and epic guides to adventure. Quick breathers, calming walks or heart-pounding hikes, we feel better when we get out more. Find quality kit and 50 years of outdoor wisdom. Plus, National Trust supporters get 15% off walking kit in-store and online. Feel in your element, in the elements, at Cotswold Outdoor.com.